Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. A vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man from Macedonia was standing there urging him and saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." When Paul had seen the vision, immediately he sought to go into Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. This is our text. My dear friends in Christ, this past week I did a Google search for the top 10 movies of all time. Now, this is based upon their popularity, the nominations for awards, and just the nominations in general, and the directing and the writing perspective of it. Now, these movies covered a span of many years, but I want to share them with you. The top 10 movie of all the time was Lawrence of Arabia. Nine is One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. Eight is The Wizard of Oz. Seven, Gone with the Wind. Six, Citizen Kane. Five, Casablanca. Four, Raging Bull. I've never seen that movie. Three, Schindler's List. I saw that one. It's long, but good. Two, Shawshank Redemption. And then number one, any guesses? The Godfather. Now, my favorite, not included on this list, is Dances with Wolves. I'm not bitter at all. But the fact of the matter is, I love movies. In fact, I was told the first movie my mom and dad ever took me to, we walked into the theater, or went to the drive-in, and I just said, "Gee, Mom, that's a big TV." I love movies, especially going to drive-in movies. I love sitting out there until 2 o'clock in the morning. You got the double features with the cartoons in between. You got that chance to walk up to the snack bar. It is a great thing, not to mention you could take a date. I love the smell of popcorn at movies too. Oh, I love the new Dream Lounger seats at Marcus Theaters too. I have a tendency to bump with my knee, so my chair is kind of constantly going like this, but they're cushiony. But I must confess I've fallen asleep a few times as well. But most of all, I love cinematography. I love how directors can capture a scene and the grandeur of the whole thing and literally bring words in a script to life on a screen. It amazes me what these men and women can do with the talents that God has given to them. Now, right now, you're probably wondering, what does this have to do with the reading from Acts today? I'm going to tell you right now. I share those words because in our text today, it says, a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A vision. Now, our English word vision is taken from a Latin word, video. See where I kind of get the connection? So we could literally say that Paul saw a video, or may I say so bold, Paul saw a movie that God had revealed to him. Well, obviously at night it's outdoors perhaps, but the reality, God revealed it to him. This movie is not only divinely produced, but it's divinely directed. The plot of this divine movie is pretty straightforward. You have a man, a Macedonian, standing in a distance, and his lines are really short, super short. Simply the fact, come over and help us. And I find it interesting that Paul immediately translates the movie he saw into the command from God. It says immediately, we, notice the pronouns, not I, but we sought to go into Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel there. He knew God was wanting them to go to the region of Macedonia. In other words, this wasn't Paul's vivid imagination. This was God's call and divine plan for him and his colleagues to go to Macedonia. But what's more, they knew exactly what kind of help that the Macedonians needed. They didn't need food relief. They needed spiritual help. The kind of help that's only provided by the gospel of Jesus Christ. God literally wanted them to bring the gospel to the Macedonian people. And that translation of the word preach the gospel comes directly from the Greek noun for good news. Now, if you turn the noun into a verb, God wanted Paul, Silas, and Timothy to go good news the Macedonians. For these people were in desperate need to hear the good news of Jesus Christ, that Jesus had come into the world to save sinners like you and me. One of the things in this account that captured my attention was the fact that Paul used the word immediately. Immediately, we sought to go into Macedonia. No record of, hey, we got to make travel plans. Where are we going to stay along the way? You think they have internet access? Is there any possibility for a B&B or an Airbnb? What are we going to do? No conversation at all. It just says, immediately, they picked up and they left. Paul watched a movie. Paul went to Macedonia. No ifs, ands, or buts. The chapters that follow then tell us what happened once they got there. In today's text, it records of a woman by the name of Lydia. She's by the riverbank outside of the city. And there, Paul good newses her, and she's a believer in Jesus Christ. You have the jailer and his family in the city of Philippi. You have the Greeks in the synagogue at Thessalonica. You have the eager Bible students in the city of Berea. And you even have few in Athens who believe in Jesus Christ. The fact of the matter is that when you and I arrive at our heavenly destination, our heavenly home, we will see many of the people that Paul, Timothy, and Silas had good news in Macedonia because they followed God's command to good news them. The end. That's the whole story. It's a great story, isn't it? Because it has a happy ending. But the question is how does it apply to you? You know, you can watch a movie, but if it has no impact upon you, what's the big deal? So how does this apply to you? But before I answer that question, I want to tell you a true story. In my younger years, we lived on a farm. And I know I told you about the sheep. This isn't about sheep, although I don't like sheep much. But my mom and dad, we lived on a farm outside of Elbia, Nebraska. It was a pink house up on top. I kid you not, a pink house. And my mom and dad had a huge vegetable garden. They had a herd of goats that they milked, and they had chickens. So every spring is the same ritual. Mom and dad would order the chickens from the pullet factory there in town, and the chickens would show up, and we would put them in this big cardboard box with newspapers in it and the heat lamps, and those little chicks that were like little fur balls would grow. Some of them were destined to be layers. Others were destined to be butchered. And I want to talk about the ones that were going to be butchered. See, the reality is as they grew bigger and bigger and bigger, the day would come when it was time to butcher chickens. And so us, the kids, we were assigned with the task to go into the chicken pen and catch them. It was fun, but although they're crafty little devils, we'd get them all caught. We'd take them one by one to my dad, and you know how the story goes. He'd put their head between the two nails on the chopping block, stretch their necks out, and whack. For a young kid, it is so entertaining. Blood squirting everywhere. They're flopping around the ground. It's a waste of lunch, so don't worry. But the ones that amazed me the most were the ones that would take off running. They would take off running without a head until they ran into some obstruction. Then they would jump around. But they were dead, but they didn't even know it. These chickens had no future, and they had no idea at all. Now back to your question. How does today's lesson apply to you? I would first start off by saying, who is the Macedonian that God has placed in your life? Before we answer, just remember, it wasn't the Macedonians who were crying out for help. It was a character in the movie that God showed Paul, come over and help us. But the people of Macedonia at that time had no clue that they were dead in their trespasses and sin with no hope of eternal life. They desperately needed help. They were spiritually dead and didn't even know it. Well, God's word reminds us that all of us are born in the world spiritually dead. Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus these words, "And we were dead in our trespasses and sin in which we once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind." This is describing the Macedonians and you and I, apart from faith in Jesus Christ, to the T. They were literally spiritually dead with no hope of eternal life. Which goes back to the question you asked me before. How does this apply to me? I would ask you, who are the Macedonians that God has placed within your life? Who are those who are spiritually dead and don't even know it that you come into contact with every single day? But you might be thinking to yourself, but wait, Pastor. This is a vision for Paul. Don't go trying to turn us around as if it's a vision for me. I have no part to play in this divine movie. Really, I can tell you one thing for sure. You already have the script. Listen to what Jesus says in Matthew 28. "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." Did you get that? Jesus' own words call each and every one of us to good news the Macedonians who are in our lives. To good news those around us that are spiritually dead and don't even know it. To good news those who are in desperate need of good news but don't even know where to find it. I have a confession to make. I had a hard time finding an ending for this sermon. I liked how it began, it was kind of moving along, it was kind of good, and then all of a sudden, nothing. I literally went to bed the other night thinking to myself, I want to finish the sermon, and I kid you not, in a dream, God gives me the ending. It kind of revealed that thing. Remember the old movie, The Bosley Hair Club for Men? And L.D. Bosley, the doctor that invented the whole thing, is standing there. He's giving the big spiel. And he says, I'm not just the founder, I'm a client. And I thought, that's how that applies to us. You see, the fact of the matter is, dear friends, you and I are uniquely equipped to share the good news of Jesus Christ with the Macedonians in our lives because we once lived in Macedonia. We once were dead in our trespasses and sin, and it's Jesus Christ who has bought and brought us back to life again. Which reminds me of that other movie, Mel Gibson's movie, The Passion of the Christ. Remember that a few years ago? People were having heart attacks at the movie theater because of the drama that Mel Gibson brought to life to try to tell this true story of who Jesus is and what he has done. See, it's a story, it's about us. Because Jesus Christ gave his life as a sacrifice for you and for me. When we were dead, blind, and enemies of God, Jesus was there intervening with the Father, seeking to provide us forgiveness, life, and eternal salvation. And he has. Through the water of your baptism, he's recreated you. You were once dead, are now made alive. You are a new creation. You are no longer from Macedonia. You are from the family of God, a part of his family, eternally forgiven through faith in Jesus Christ. So this morning as we gather in this place, we have the great joy of hearing our Heavenly Father direct us into the movie that he's created in our own lives. The movie that has you and I going forth from this place into our community, into our block party, into our family and friends, all those that desperately need to hear the message that we have heard, that we're forgiven, that we have life and salvation. Because apart from him, they are eternally dead. Amen? Amen. We rise together. May the peace of God, which transcends all of our human understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.